بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أجمعين. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Alhamdulillah, as we continue our journey in this blessed collection of aphorisms, we have reached the 108th aphorism of Ibn al-Ta'il al-Sakandari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, wa nafa'ana bi'ulumihi fi al-dareen, ameen. This is where he says, Subhana man satara sirr al-khususiyyati bi thuhur al-bashariyah wa dhahara bi azamat al-rububiyyati fi idhar al-ubudiyah. This could translate, glory be to the one who has hidden the secret of election through the manifestation of humanness, and who has manifested with sublime lordship by manifesting servanthood. That's not as easily understood or understandable as some of the others. So let's just briefly look at some of the words. That subhana here is for ta'ajjub, this is out of amazement. But literally, subhana means glory be. Glory be to the one who, subhana man, the one who. Or you could even say praise be to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he's the one who what? Satara. So here we have again these different words. We have satara, and then we have the other word that is dhahara. Satara is to hide, dhahara is to manifest. So that subhana man, what did he do? Satara, that he has hidden, or even you could say veiled, the sirr al-khususiyya. A sirr is a secret. The secret of khususiyya, something that is khas, something that is special, something that is that distinguished. But here, someone's khususiyya here is it relates to the election. Yani, these people have been selected to receive something special from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So glory be to the one whom he veiled, satara, sirr al-khususiyya, the secret of election. How? Be through dhuhur al-bashariyya. Dhuhur, is the masdar, the verbal noun of dhahara. So through the manifestation of bashariyya. Bashariyya is your humanness. So glory be to one who has hidden the secret of election through the manifestation of humanness. Yani, how you are as a human being, all of the things that relate to you as a human being. Wadahara, okay. And here, so this goes back to Allah. He is the one who is manifesting. Bi'azamatir rububiyyah, with sublime lordship. The rububiyyah of Allah is his lordship. The reality that he is Rabb. And here we're talking about it's Adhama, the rububiyyah al-Azima, sublime lordship. Fi, so that by, idhar al-ubudiyyah. So adhar yuthru is to manifest, to make manifest. What is he making manifest? Ubudiyyah. Servanthood or servitude. Servanthood. The fact that we're abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And part of us being abd means that we're created. And being created means that we have all of these things happen to us as human beings. We get sick, we cry, we laugh, we get tired, we get hungry, and all these other things. Because we're human beings. But one of the incredibly beautiful things is the secret, or one of the secrets, to achieving the higher degrees of closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is truly understanding our humanness. And then, through understanding our humanness, coming to know Allah. Ooh, that's right at the heart of this meaning, of what he's trying to get at us. In other words, is that we know that we're da'if, that we're weak. And to the extent that we know for certain, and we realized in our weakness, is to the extent that Allah will give us strength. We know that we're dhalil, that we're lowly. Who are we as human beings? We began as a sticky fluid, we'll end up as a putrid corpse, And between those two states, we carry excrement in our stomachs. How could anyone be arrogant when they have to use the bathroom? I don't know. And that famous story where the person said to this blessed lady, who's from the people of Allah, "Don't you know who I am?" Oh, right, that's like modern day lingo, telling someone to recognize or something like that. Just filled with nafs. "Don't you know who I am?" She says, "I know you very well. Is that you began as a sticky fluid, you'll end up as a putrid corpse. In between these two states, you carry excrement between your two sides." Buttocks. "I know you very well." Every human being has those same qualities. Same beginning, same end, same state in between. The key is that when we recognize these realities, so that we're faqir, we're in absolute need of Allah, to the extent that we are realized in our faqir, is to the extent that Allah Ta'ala will enrich us. Tabarak wa ta'ala. So, we start off by saying subhana, a tanazzuh. This is a way of glorifying Allah, but it's also that pointing to His transcendence. That our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is Mawlana al-Hakim. He is our wise Lord. Alladhi satara bi hikmati sirr khususiyyah. Through His wisdom, through His divine wisdom, is that He that veiled or hid the sirr khususiyyah. And that, in other words, is that there is a secret part of the human being which relates to what makes us special. But here, it's the people that Allah Ta'ala has made special. And so the vast majority of awliya, the people that are beloved to Allah, if they were sitting right next to you, you would know that they're awliya. And especially if you spent time with them. If you woke up next to them, or you have a meal with them, or you find them in the marketplace, the vast majority of them are outwardly like other people. They go to the store, they go to the market, they do financial transactions. Occasionally they'll raise their voice, or they get sick. They seem very normal. They eat, right? All these normal things. And it's one of the hardest things to do is to recognize someone's special nature when you just see their human side. And our Prophet ﷺ was beautifully described in by his blessed wife, Sayyidah Aisha. At home, he was like one of us. Meaning the Prophet ﷺ was very humble at home. He was very approachable, that he would laugh with them. He would talk to them. He would tend to his own affairs. He would cut the meat. He would milk the goat. He would mend his own sandals. He would help around the house. But then they said, once prayer time came, it was as if we didn't know him. And this is the best of creation. But they described him as he was like one of us. But he wasn't like anyone else. It was just the way that these things are. And how many people were veiled by our Prophet ﷺ by only focusing on his human side? And not forgetting that he receives revelation from Allah. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشْرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. Say that I am bashar. I'm a human being like you. يُوحَى إِلَيْ. But that he receives revelation. Right? I receive that revelation. So he's different than everyone else. Who else receives revelation other than other prophets? So that when we talk about this khususiyah, what is this khususiyah that is being referred to? And some of the commentators say it is the nur al-haq, the light of the truth. Yushrikahu Allah, the light of truth, that yushrikahu Allah fi qulubi khawas ibadihi al-muqarrabin. That Allah Ta'ala causes to radiate in the hearts of His elect servants that He has brought close to Him. Allah. What else do we want in life other than that? To be from the khawas ibadillah and muqarrabin. Those meanings should move us. We just hear them and it's just, all right, we want to just, ya Allah. That's what we want. What else do we want in life other than that? تبي from the خواص عباد الله المقربين, the elect servants of Allah that have been brought close to Him. And if someone attains that, even if they were the ugliest person in the world, the poorest person in the world, the most tried person in the world, they have everything. If we have that, we have everything. But he does this, subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the light of truth that he causes to radiate in the hearts of these individuals, but بعد تطيرها, after they become purified, من الأكدار, from all of these things that pollute the heart. So this is why we come together. We come together to learn how to purify our hearts, because purification of heart is a prerequisite for us to attain the higher degrees of knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that takes mujahada and spiritual struggle. That takes learning. That takes striving to put the knowledge into practice. That takes sitting at the feet of ulama. That takes going against what it is that you want to do so that you do the right thing over an extended period of time. But then when you realize what comes in return, you see all of that is subhanahu, you do it again 2, 3, 5, 10 times over. When someone sees what happens at the end of the purificatory process. And that this is what our Prophet came to do, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we use a kikum, he purifies you. Everything about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's teachings purify you at every level of your being, inwardly and outwardly, at the level of belief, at the level of practice, at the level of your heart. Everything about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's teachings, they're pure in and of themselves and they're purifying. And anyone who, that with iman, opens up his or her heart to them, Allah, and that Allah gives that individual tawfiq, subhanAllah, what they receive is immense. So, this khususiyah that he's referring to here, this election, this specialness, is this light of truth that comes after purification, after someone rids their heart from the radha'il, the reprehensible vices. And that the secret of this khususiyah is that what is attained from that light, from all of these various aspects of beauty and perfection and qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that gives these elect servants of His. And these are oftentimes not known by the vast majority of people. And so there's a divine wisdom in why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has hid a lot of this. So you could have someone right next to you who's from the kibar of the awliya, from the great people of Allah, and you actually don't even know. It's hidden. Were the veil to be removed and you to witness and understand what this individual is witnessing, the states that he or she is going through, it would be a very different experience. But there's a wisdom in how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hid this. And that's what they say, is that at times that the sun always has to be hidden by the clouds. And sometimes it's shining, but other times that the sun is there, but you can't see it because it's being covered by the clouds, but it's there. Were the clouds to recede, that you would then see it. So this first part is that glory be to Allah. I mean, this is an amazing thing that shows His power, that He has hidden the secret of election, these great meanings and realities that He places in the hearts of His beloved servants, that by the human side of them that everybody sees. And this is why that one of the most important things that we need when we want to benefit from other people is to learn how to overlook their human side and to tap in and to witness their special side. And this is a dua that we should make that for every Muslim, in fact, let alone our teachers, that, O Allah, that veil me from their human side and allow me to see their special qualities. And we should see this with our brothers and our sisters that are people that are around us. Everybody has something special about them. But we get caught up in how they look, how they dress, how they speak, the color of their skin, all of these outward considerations, which don't mean anything in reality. Don't mean anything. What matters is what's here. The quality of an individual is not with their outward state, their clothes or any of these other things, their how much wealth it's about, the state of their heart. That's really what matters. And so, that when we look at the second part of this, then, وَالظَّهَرَ بِعَظَمَةَ الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. And this translates as, and was manifested with sublime lordship by manifesting servanthood. And I'm going to that read a little bit from this blessed book. This is one of the great resources for someone who's studying the Book of Wisdoms, the commentary of Sheikh Abdullah Gangohi, which has been translated into English, that he says here, his power is indeed wonderful and marvelous. When he desires to display the greatness and splendor of his lordship to his servants, then he does so by revealing the effects of servanthood. The effects of servanthood are those states of the servants that draw their attention to Allah Most High. The effects of servanthood are what? Those states of the servants that draw their attention to Allah Most High, such as sickness, poverty, hardships, etc. So when someone goes through these types of things, the goal is that we turn to Allah. That's supposed to draw our attention to Allah, as opposed to that just panicking and just being caught up in the realm of the means. When the servant is afflicted with these conditions, he is compelled to turn toward his Creator. He supplicates for the removal of hardships and humbles himself. In such circumstances, he develops firmness in faith and understands well that he most certainly has a Creator who is all-powerful, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So by Allah manifesting the servanthood of his slaves, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and putting them through all these different conditions, is that what that does is that cause directs us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It makes us aware of his sublime lordship. In the absence of these effects, the greatness of Allah would not have become manifest for his servants because they would be perpetually dwelling in their personal whims and fancies. The servants of Allah would then have been deprived of this inner knowledge. So yet another that example of a perspective of how you and I view or should view tribulation. When we view it this way, it opens up the door for us to draw near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that other that authors have said about this is that ثم إن الحق سبحانه من عظيم حكمته, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from his great wisdom, وَبَاهِرْ قُدْرَتِهِ, in his wondrous power, and سَتَرَ تِلْكَ الْأَصَافَ اللَّازِمَ لِذَلِكَ النُّورِ بِذُهُرْ أَضَادِهَا, is that he veils that these great traits that go hand in hand with that light that was described, بِذُهُرْ أَضَادِهَا, by having their opposites appear. أَلَتِهِ أَصَافَ الْعُبُودِيَةِ, these are the traits of that the servitude of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Wa fasatara kibriya'ahu wa 'azamatu bi dhuhuri dhulli wal faqr wal da'f 'ala al 'abd. So Allah ta'ala that veiled that his greatness and that his grandeur, that through the manifestation of lowliness, humiliation, poverty, weakness of the servant, وَسَتَرَ قُدْرَتُهُ وَإِرَادَتُهُ, And he has veiled that his power and his will be the word ajwal qahriya, in the manifestation of inability, and that being overwhelmed from his servants. وَسَتَرَ إِلْمَهُ الْمُحِيدِ بِذُهُرَ الْجَهَلُ وَسَهُ, is that he has veiled his comprehensive, all-encompassing knowledge that with the manifestation of ignorance and forgetfulness. And all of these other different types of attributes that are attributes of servanthood. And so this is has a very deep meaning. And he says, فَسُبْحَانَ مَنْ جَعَدَ أَشْيَاءَ كَامِنَ فِي أَضَّادِهَا, glory be to the one who has made things hidden in their opposites. سَتَرَ كَمَعَدَاتَ رُوبُبِيَّ بِنَقَائِسِ رُوبُودِيَا, he has veiled the perfection of lordship with the imperfections of servanthood. وَلَوْلَا ذَلِكَ لَكَانَ سِرَ غَيْرَ مَصُونَ, where this not to be the case is that the secret wouldn't be protected. وَالْكَنْزْ غَيْرِ مَدْفُونَ, nor would the treasure have been buried. And then there's another aphorism that he mentions here that's coming that has a similar meaning. And that Imam Ibn Abu Hassan, that radiallahu, he says that الْعُبُودِيَّ جَوْهَرَةٌ أَظْهَرَ بِهَا أَرُبُوبِيَّ. And that this means is that your servanthood is a johara, that in which that we can really come to know the lordship of Allah by seeing our own traits, being aware of our own traits. Because when we talk about lordship, that it needs us to understand that there are those that are subjugated to that his will, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ultimately, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that says, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, antum al-fuqara ila Allah. You are the impoverished before Allah. Wallahu huwa al-ghani al-hamid. And it is Allah who is the independent, the ghani, or the rich, and the praiseworthy, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we speak about these traits of the servant, the authors that point out to us, is that these are the awsaf al-dhati al-lazima. These are intrinsic traits to the human being that are inseparable. And that this refers to the things, as we mentioned, all of these human conditions like eating, drinking, sleeping, that things of this nature. And he's not referring here to the potential states that the human being can go through, like arrogance and vanity and envy and anger and so forth. These are things that need to be purified. And so one of the things that we come to learn here then is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has hidden people. And we have to learn how to find the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and recognize them. And if the vast majority, which they are unassuming and hard to detect, then we have to pay close attention. And we have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to that bless us to meet with his people. One of the great scholars, Habib Abdurrahman bin Abdullah bin Fakih, had an intention to meet with every single one of the awliya on the face of this earth. We should make that intention. Ya Rab, I make an intention to meet with all of the awliya on the face of this earth. We should at least make the intention, and you never know. You might just come across someone unexpectedly. Subhanallah. And that person could be beloved to Allah and beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And sometimes they're actually not far from you, but what, as they say, at a quarter hijab, proximity is also a veil. And that when we make the intention to meet the people of Allah, Allah opens up the door for us to meet them. And then we have to learn about them. And they're like gardens they're like flowers in a garden. It's just that you have tulips. What is more beautiful, a tulip or a rose or a carnation or an orchid or all these different types of flowers? Which one is more beautiful? Yeah, they're all beautiful. They're just different. Right? Which smell is more beautiful? The smell of a rose, the smell of jasmine. Yeah, they're all beautiful smells. And the awliya are like beautiful that flowers in a garden. And some of them are very gentle, some of them very tough. That some of them incline towards mercy, others incline towards justice. Others have a very awe-inspiring jalali presence, and others have a very love-inspiring, gentle presence, like they're different. SubhanAllah. And some are very easy to get close to, others very difficult. Some open up a lot, and others very hard to get them to open up back. And some of them have different responsibilities. Some of them have responsibilities in relation to the outer realm, others have responsibilities in relation to the inner realm. Muhakkada. But we should love them because they're the people of Allah. We should love all of the awliya because they're the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should ask Allah to show us them. Because it's coming in the hikam as well, is that when Allah ta'ala brings you to one of His awliya, it's a sign that He wants to bring you to Him. When Allah brings you to one of the awliya, it's a sign that He wants to bring you to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the greatest way that Allah ta'ala, that after the prophets, that extends His mercy to His creation is through the intermediary of the people of Allah. That when you have that beloved people to Allah in any given community, let alone if you have many of them, that everybody benefits from the outpour of the spiritual rain then. Everybody, even non-Muslims. Tribulations are warded off from them, that things are made easy for them, that out in relation to the outward world, from the presence of the awliya. Everybody benefits from them. And that he says here, is that if Allah Ta'ala wants to make one of His people known to you, is that He will cause you not to see their human side and to then focus upon their special qualities. And unfortunately, we live in a time where there are a lot of people who misunderstand these meanings. They have their proper place. And connecting to these people is that this is the secret of that traveling the path to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, and that through that connection, the doors of coming to know Him subhanahu wa ta'ala open up. And then finally he says, هَذَا النُّورَ الَّذِي أَشْرَكَ اللَّهُ فِي قُلُوبِ أَوْلِيَائِهِ كَانَ كَامِنٍ فِي الرُّوحِ فِي الْأَصَلِ. So he says something very interesting. He says that this light that Allah Ta'ala caused to shine in the hearts of His people, the awliya, is that it was hidden foundationally in the ruh, in the spirit. It has the potential. It's there. فِي أَصَلْ بُرُوزِهَا فَأَصْلُهَا نُورَانِيَّةَ عَالِيمَةَ. The foundation of the spirit is that it is that illuminated and it is knowledgeable and can be aware of different things. Daraka. It can know so much about different things. Ala haqiqati, and the way that they are in reality. وَإِنَّمَا حَجَبَ عَنْ ذَلِكَ سِجْنُهَا فِي هَذَا الْبَدَنِ الطِّينِ. What is veiled, the spirit, from this perception and this awareness is the fact that it's been caged in this physical body. So we're looking at each other right now, but we're only seeing the outward. Is that the people of Allah well beyond that? So and so looks like this, so and so is wearing this, so and so's got this color hair, so and so's wearing this color garment. These are all outward considerations, but there's a reality to us internally. And that's really what matters. And again, these are easy words. We've known this. Everybody knows what I just said. But the key is not to just know it cerebrally. Is that we're like aware of that. Like someone's reality is, right? How they are internally. And what does their inner speech look like? What are the thoughts that they have? What are the states that they go through? What is their degree of sincerity? Only Allah knows what's in the hearts. And sometimes there's certain outward indications that point to certain things of people, but only Allah really knows what's in the heart. And that there's a hadith Qudsi that states, Al-Ikhlas sirrun min asrari. Sincerity is a secret from among my secrets. Istawda'tuhu qalba man asha'a min ibadi, kama qal. I said, I lodge it and place it into the heart of those servants of mine of whom I choose. And that ultimately no one can know whether you're sincere or not with Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala. And once these meanings open up, where we start to understand this internal reality of the human being, and you start to realize it's beyond the world that the vast majority of people that are caught up in, one of riya, and just totally showing off and doing things for other people. And that, as some of them have said, that are you going to places of worship to perform or to be formed? Are you going to perform? Some people just go to perform, right? They're go out and just, yani, to, there's riya. And it doesn't mean that you don't do something and contribute to the majlis, but we don't go to a gathering of goodness to perform. And there's people who don't ever come to the front that are performing. They're performing in the sense of just how they dress, how they carry themselves, what they're looking for, how they talk to people and so forth. Like that. Or are we going to be formed? Do we want to go to a majlis that is nurani and open up our hearts to be able to receive the light that descends in majalis of dhikr, in gatherings of knowledge and that remembrance, to then impact the heart? And just imagine that if you go to gatherings regularly, the 5 daily prayers, that you have a weekly gathering of dhikr of some sort, a weekly gathering praise of the Prophet of some sort, and just imagine over time, if you do this regularly, how it just impacts the heart and impacts the heart and impacts the heart. And you don't even realize it's happening, but you're changing. You're transforming. You are shedding. And then you're gaining. You're getting rid of reprehensible traits. You are being clothed with praiseworthy traits. And that this is what we want. But in order to really have the ruh that reach its potential, for us to attain our own Adamic potential, is that we have to travel the path. And it's that long, arduous path of spiritual struggle where you focus on the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala and purification of the heart at the hands of a rightly guided sheikh, mentor, guide who can take you along the way, and then will take you to where it is that you need to go. And so that this is a very blessed aphorism, and we ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to blesses to be people of khususiyya, that he singles out and blesses with the greatest of blessings inwardly and outwardly. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that blesses to be aware of our bashariya, an awareness that leads to a knowledge of that his attributes Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. May Allah open up the door for us to this Ya Rahman Rahim, and to bless us to put into practice what it is that we've heard, and may our portion not just be the movement of our tongue. May Allah Ta'ala realize us in these meanings and to resemble the people of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, to follow in their footsteps. And that in this time, even though it's 1400 years after the time, plus after the time of our Prophet, we ask Allah Ta'ala to that select many from the people of our time and to give them some of the greatest gifts that He gives to the Ummah of our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Wa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Muhammadan wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Is there any questions? Very good question. So the question was, is that tribulations, we mentioned how they could be a means for that great blessings. How do we differentiate between the different types of tribulations, ones that are of the ones that are mentioned or those that are actually punishment? So the reality is that we might not ever know definitively. Sometimes there are signs that indicate one or the other. But the important thing is not actually that we know which one it is. The most important thing is how we respond. And then in our response is the greatest sign to which one it actually was. If that makes sense. So our focus is, whenever we go through a tribulation, that, yeah, how does my Lord want me to react to this particular situation? Okay? And that in our reaction, oftentimes is the greatest sign. Because these tribulations can be of three types. They can either be a punishment, or they can be an atonement, or they can be a means to raise someone in rank. And you actually never know which one it really is. But the greatest sign that it is a punishment is that there's what's called jaza, that we panic and we oppose and fight and don't submit and maybe even complain and say all kinds of stuff. And worse case scenarios that we oppose, that we show opposition to the divine decree, which is one of the worst things one can do. That's a sign that it's a punishment. The sign that it's an atonement is that we tend to be patient with it. And then the sign that it's a means to raise us in rank is that we reach the state of contentment. So contentment's a very high station. It's not something that you can fake. Right? Contentment is... you can't fake contentment, right? To really be satisfied with the divine decree. Yeah, it's not something you can just be like, I'm going to be content. It doesn't work like that. You can do that with sabr, yes. Sabr, yes. Man tasabbar yusabbirhu Allah. Whoever strives to be patient, Allah will make him patient and assist that person in being patient. But contentment, it's like you have to work on yourself. And contentment usually only comes after love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because then you love what Allah ta'ala brings your way because it's from Him. And so I actually met someone like this. It's a real person, Yani, in Singapore. He's a very blessed soul. He's from the Naqshbandi Tariqah. And they told me is that when he was diagnosed with cancer, the very first thing he did was smile. He was happy. Immediately. He was diagnosed with cancer. And the very first thing he did, they just saw this genuine joy emanate from him. Which person? Everyone dreads that, right? For him, he had a very different meaning. I'm finally going to meet the one I've been waiting to meet. What a difference, right? And it doesn't mean that you don't get treatment. It doesn't mean you don't try to take care of yourself. Yani, take the means. But this person's in a different state, Yani. And he was smiling. Because for him, it's like, and it's a hadith actually, that tuhfat al-mu'min al-maut, the gift of the believer's death. Yani, for the believers that are actively preparing and have reached these states, death is a gift. But that's, you can't just turn that on in yourself. You have to condition yourself, right, in order to be able to do that. And what we can do is put in that struggle, is to reflect upon the death often, reflect upon the meeting with Allah Ta'ala often. And what you'll find is that your nafs wants you to cling to this world. I'm still young. I still got time. I still got more to do. It's going to make you cling. But then we fight against it, fight haka. And then the more we do that while we're alive is that the easier things are when death actually does come. May Allah prepare us, Ya Rab. Allah. It's amazing. We're in such heedlessness when we know that death is going to strike every single one of us. That's why visiting the graves is so important. كنت نهيتكم عن زيارة القبر ألا فزوروها. I used to prohibit you from visiting graves, but visit them now. فإنها تذكركم الآخرة. They remind you of the hereafter. That's why in many Muslim countries they have a regular visit that they do to the cemetery. And cemeteries in the Muslim world are very different. Cemeteries here are very creepy. Right? Creepy. But in the Muslim world, especially cemeteries, we visit the awliya, Allah. When you visit people who are beloved to Allah, and the inshirah, and the expansion of the heart that Allah brings, when you visit them, you're like, where am I? Where am I? There's not places on earth that I've been, you've been, that you feel like you're in front of, you're in a great cemetery. SubhanAllah. The people of Allah. Any other questions? And on the sister side?